praising the Lord together and to listen to Him speak to us from His Word. Now, last week we began a short series that I will be doing on Tuesday evenings in the ministry meeting with you on the subject of being steadfast. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth when he finished his tremendous discourse and defense of the resurrection. He said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And we looked last week. The very first of these was found in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, where the Apostle Paul said to the church of Galatia, he says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And we saw last week how the Lord has given us liberty. He has set us free. One of the things that Paul brings out in the epistle to the Galatians is freedom from the curse of the law, freedom from the bondage of the law, freedom brought out into liberty. And he said, now listen, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In Acts chapter 15, in the Council of Jerusalem in verse 10, the Apostle Peter said to those that were gathered there of the apostles, the elders, he said, "Brethren, our fathers were not able to bear this yoke. And why are we going to put a yoke upon these Gentile believers that our fathers themselves could not bear?" And we saw that this was not only so that the Lord has set us free, but He has set us free from the bondage of sin. Oh, what a joy it is to know that we've been set free. Set free from an accusing conscience, a guilty conscience. It's a terrible thing to have an accusing conscience. Jacob was coming back to the land after he had gained the family and much goods and flocks and so on. He was coming back, and the message came to him in Genesis 32 that Esau, his brother, was coming with 400 men. And Jacob's conscience was troubled. Jacob tried all kinds of things to appease Esau because he knew what he had done to Esau years before. Thank God, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're set free from an accusing conscience. But we saw last week that this liberty that we have in Jesus Christ is to be governed by the teachings of God's Word. We are free, but we are not free to do as we please. That's the difference. You see, there is freedom in a lot of countries, but a lot of people abuse that freedom. Right now, the Soviet Union, the Russian people are experiencing a taste of freedom, something they had not had for 70 years. Now, what happens with this newfound freedom? What are they going to do with it? You see, there are the abuses of freedom. We can abuse it. And even as Christians, we can abuse the liberties we have in the Lord Jesus. And we saw last week that the Lord gave us some guidelines in His Word. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12, He said, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not profitable." And the first guideline that we have there, if you want to use that word, is the fact that yes, we have freedom, but we must have the spiritual discernment to understand what is profitable and what is not profitable. Secondly, in that verse he says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all I will not be brought under the power of any." There's a warning there for us, because you see, we can use the liberty we have in Christ, but we can become slaves to something that might be in itself all right. It may be quite good in itself, but we must be careful that we're not brought under the power of that thing. And the third guideline was found in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. The Apostle Paul says, "My liberty should never be used as a stumbling block to others, that I must recognize that what I do affects other people. That I must never let this liberty that I have in Christ," and the context in that chapter is meats offered to idols. And Paul says, this is my guideline. Even though it doesn't bother me, because I am free, I can, and I have no hang-ups about it, I can eat meat that was offered in the idol temple that is sold in the market, I can eat it. But if it's going to offend my brother, if it's going to cause him spiritual hurt, I'm not going to eat it. Not that he was compromising. He says, I'm just not going to do that thing which will offend my brother in Christ. And then the fourth principle that we saw, I think this is the most important of all. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, he says, whether therefore ye eat, or ye drink, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. I have many young people come to me and they want to know, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? And I give them that verse. I said, now here is your guideline. Can you do this thing for the glory of God? Is God going to receive glory by you going to such and such a place? Is the Lord going to be glorified by the way you speak? Certain words that you use. You may feel that, all right, but is God going to be glorified? Because the next verse says, verse 32, he says, give none offense, neither to the Jew, neither to the Gentile, nor to the church of God. And so we, beloved, have freedom. But we must acknowledge that that freedom does not give us license to do as we please, but to live governed by love, governed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and governed by the guidelines of God's Word. Now let's look at another one this evening. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and look at verses 13 and 14. As you know, in chapter 16, Paul is finishing off his letter to the church in Corinth, his first letter. He has given some instructions, some last-minute instructions as to the offering for the saints, when it was to be done, how it was to be done. And then he mentions some personal things. And then in verse 13, he bursts forth and gives like almost like very quick gunshots. Bang, bang, bang. He shoots off some very quick phrases. Notice what he says. Watch it. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all things be done with love. Stand fast in the faith. Here is the second of the areas where we want to stand fast in. Now, he says in these verses, some very important things. Let's look at them for a few moments this evening. First of all, he says, watch ye. Here is a demand to be vigilant, or a demand for vigilance. Watch ye. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ came to Peter and the other disciples as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. He says, I want you to watch with me 1 hour. When he comes back, they're asleep. And the Lord Jesus says to them, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you see, he gives two important things that we are to do. We're not only to pray, but we're to watch. We're not only to watch, but we're to pray. Someone has likened watch and pray to going out in a rowboat. Now a rowboat, you need two oars. Someone has said that you put one on one oar watch and the other oar pray. And if you go out in the middle of the stream out there and you take one oar and you start to go with it, the boat's going to go around in circles. If you take the other oar, the boat's going to go around in circles in the opposite direction. But when you dip both of those oars together in the water, the boat goes forward. And we need the balance of watching and praying. Here is a demand for vigilance. What he's saying is this, be on the alert. Now I believe that this, of course, first of all, should apply to me individually. I must be on guard. I must be watching myself. Now, I tell you what we as God's people are very good at doing. We're good at watching the other brother and sister, aren't we? It's good to be looking out for our brothers and sisters. Amen? Good to be looking out for them in love in the right way. But we have to start with ourselves, first of all. We have to look at ourselves, first of all. And the Apostle Paul says here, you are to be vigilant. You are to watch yourselves. Be on the alert in our individual lives. I believe this is a daily watch. I believe this is something that we should do day by day, and if we're in God's Word, we are going to be watching ourselves. We are going to be very sensitive. You know what happens when we feed upon God's Word and our souls are being fed by God's Word every day and the Holy Spirit is ministering to us from God's Word and through God's Word, and He is revealing the Lord Jesus Christ to us through God's Word. We become very sensitive, beloved. Very sensitive spiritually. I never think that because we have spent years in God's Word, that there's not the danger of us stumbling, of us falling. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 for a moment, please. There are two verses here that I often quote to myself and often read and go back to. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. In verse 12, you have a warning. In verse 13, you have a promise. Look at the warning in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10, he says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand, do what? Take heed, lest he fall. Beloved, God help us to keep ourselves spiritually alert. And never to the point where we feel that we have arrived spiritually that we cannot fall. Because when we arrive at that point, that's when we're going to come tumbling down. We're going to fall. He says, let him that thinketh he stand. Now the context there, he's talking about the children of Israel. And notice some of the things that they were doing. They went into idolatry. They went into immorality. And other things. They had Moses as their leader. They had that pillar of fire by day, or the pillar of cloud by day, and the cloudy fire of fire by night. They had the visible presence of God with them in the tabernacle. Even Moses fell. Even Aaron fell. They did not have the privilege, beloved, of going into the promised land. Moses, that meek man, Moses, that great man of God, one day, his temper gets the better of him. He cries out to the people, must we bring water from the rock? God said, Moses, you take the rod and you speak to the rock. The rock had already been smitten. Christ our Lord only smitten once. He says, you speak to the rock. The context is right there in chapter 10. Moses is in anger. Smites the rock twice, the water comes. God says, Moses, you'll see the land, but you won't go in. Beloved, here is a demand for vigilance. Watch ye. Guard yourself. That's the exhortation there. That is the word that God gives to us through His servant. He says, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall, and let not one of us ever think that we are too good spiritually that we cannot be tripped up. Because the moment we think that, down we're going. The devil knows when to hit us, and he knows how to hit us. The devil knows that weak point and he will bore through if we're not careful. But now the promise. Look at verse 13. Isn't that a precious promise? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Hallelujah. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Praise God. Beloved, let's heed the warning. And if somebody stumbles, somebody trips up, the scriptures has the exhortation, go over please to Galatians chapter 6. The scripture has the exhortation for us as well.
You see, it says that him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. And if we claim the promise of verse 13, I believe we're going to stand. But I want you to notice what Paul says in Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fall, the word here is, the word overtaken means to be tripped up suddenly. It's not something that somebody has gone into deliberately. Now what are we to do? Well, the first thing a lot of us do is to criticize. Laugh. Huh? He fell, I'm so glad. You know, that's the attitude we take sometimes, isn't it? It's bad. Some of us do. What does he say? He says, if a man be overtaken in the fall, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. The word restore, it gives the idea of setting a limb that's broken. It takes a little pains and time. But it's done tenderly and it has to be done. It has to cause a little pain, but it's done. Restore such a one. Notice what he says. In the spirit of what? Of meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. When somebody is tripped up, God help us never to criticize. But those who are spiritual, and just, you know, not everybody can do this. Believe you me, not everybody can do this. But those who are spiritual, they go, they restore. And as we're restoring, they say, God, help me to realize that it could be me. It could be me, Lord. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest thy, yes, you also be tempted. Notice what verse 2 says. There, ye one another's burdens. Sometimes, you know, when a brother does stumble, he's failed to watch. We add to his burdens, or we add to that sister's burdens, instead of helping them to bear them. Bear ye one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So he says to watch, the man for vigilance, watch ourselves, guard ourselves. I believe that in that context, I believe that Paul, first of all, is thinking of the Corinthian church. Because you see, the Corinthian church was a church that had problem upon problem upon problem upon problem. From fussing and breaking up and splitting up over which preacher was the best. Over allowing open adultery and sin in their midst. And if you want to read something in chapter 5, you know, we're quick to criticize the one who is caught in a sin like that. But I want you to notice in chapter 5, he speaks also of some other things that Christians are to be judged by the assembly for, and one of them is railing. A lot of times we will look down upon the brother and sister who is caught in a big sin, as we call it. But you know something? The sin of the tongue is just as bad as drunkenness, or railing, or rather of adultery, or anything like that. And Paul he knows all of this has happened, and he goes into chapter 6, and they're carrying each other to court. They're fussing over meats offered to idols. They're even having people drunk at the Lord's table. Tongues. The issue of tongues almost split the church wide open. And Paul now, as he's written the corrective ministry, and he's written to these saints, he says, brethren and sisters, he says, watch yourselves. Guard against the enemy coming in and drawing you or pulling you down. Be on the alert. He says, keep your eyes upon the Lord. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5 says, be sober. Be vigilant. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. He's prowling around like a lion, seeking someone to devour. Let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. Demand for vigilance. But there's also a demand in that 13th verse for stability. He says, stand fast in the faith. In the faith. The faith here is the whole body of revealed truth that we have in God's Word. There's a need for this today. You know, if you listen to or you watch, a lot of people have satellite receivers and so on, so there are stations that are on, and there's preaching on all the time. But I want to tell you this, you have to discern what is good and what's bad. And I believe if we ever needed to know what we believe, it's today. Because let me tell you something, there are some funny things that are being propagated today. Not according to Scripture. You listen to some of these, quote, Christian radio stations. I'm not talking about a station like Transworld Radio in Bon Air, but there are stations in the mainland of America. They sell commercial time, and anybody who will pay for it can get on. And you can have a man preaching the unadulterated Word of God in one half an hour, and the next half an hour you can have a man that's tearing down what that other brother said. No wonder people are confused. So here is a demand for stability. He says, stand fast in the faith. Now when you come to the epistle of Jude, Jude says, I was going to write to you about the salvation, the common salvation that we all share. Turn to it. Let's go to chapter of Jude. Next to the last book in the Bible. Let's read it. I don't like just to quote or refer to it. When I'm teaching or preaching like this, I like to look at God's Word. Let's look at it for ourselves. Jude. Only one chapter. Next to Revelation, tucked away there, is the little epistle of Jude, the Acts. Somebody has called this the Acts, the A-C-T-S of the apostates. Because Jude warns about apostasy. Look at verse 3. He says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. That is the salvation that we commonly share. That's what Jude wanted to write about. He really had an urge to write to these saints, these dear ones. He had an urge to share, to talk about this. He says, but I could not write about that. He says, the thing that I was impressed by the Holy Spirit, now he doesn't say that, but we know the Holy Spirit guided these men as they wrote the Word of God. He says, it was needful for me to write unto you, to exhort you, that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And literally what that is saying is, for the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. And so Paul exhorts the believers at Corinth. He says, stand fast in the faith. Because there was already those who were drifting away from the Lord. There were those who were already going away from the faith, departing from the faith, turning to other things. And so there is a demand for stability. You see, the faith is that whole body of truth which was once for all given to the saints, and it cannot be added to nor subtracted from. Paul knew this. The other apostles knew this. They realized that this would soon happen. And so the apostle Paul, even before he perhaps writes some of these things, turn with me, please, now back to the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. Let's see what he has to say there. Now he's talking here to the elders who were from Ephesus. And the apostle Paul is sharing with them. He is telling them from his heart. He's saying, Brethren, I want to share with you something that's going to happen. You know, I have not failed to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Now he says, listen, look at verse 27. He says, For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel, the whole counsel of God. Verse 28 of Acts chapter 20. Now he goes to the elders. He says, Elders, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. Let me ask you something, beloved. Do you pray for your elders in this assembly? Do you pray for them regularly? It's easy to criticize some of the decisions the elders make. But one of the things that the church must do is to pray for the elders. But you know, the elders have to pray for themselves and take care of themselves. Brethren who are in leadership, this is a demand here for stability. We've got to take care of ourselves. Take heed, therefore, he says, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. You see, the Holy Spirit raises up elders. Men who are men of the Word, who meet the qualifications of, as Paul writes in Timothy and in Titus, men who have a tremendous responsibility upon their shoulders because they have the care of the whole flock of God. And the Holy Spirit has made them overseers. One of their responsibilities is found in this verse, is you've got to feed the church. You know how we feed? We feed through God's Word. And the only time in the Scriptures this is mentioned in this verse, he says, over which rather he hath purchased with his own blood, the blood of God. And notice the warning. The exhortation is found in verse 28. The warning is in verse 29 and 30. He says, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves come in, enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He says, they're coming in men, and they're going to bring in heresy. They're going to bring in divisiveness. They're going to bring in things, and they're going to be like ravenous wolves. You know what wolves are to sheep. They scatter the sheep and they destroy the sheep. He says they will come from without. But then the next verse tells us in verse 30, they are going to come from within. He says, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, he says, here is his cry, commend you to God. And notice what he commends him to, the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Paul recognized that it would not be long before the wolves would come in, and sometimes they would come in dressed as sheep. The worst kind. And isn't it any wonder, as he writes some of his letters, he writes to the church at Galatia, and he has to correct the Judaizing teachers that are coming in and saying that, oh yes, you're saved by faith in Christ, but you have to come back under the Old Testament law. A part of Romans, he has to do this. Is it any wonder that he has to write to the Colossian Christians, a church that he never had visited, he did not found, but a church nevertheless that he had a heart for? And he has to write to them to warn them of these false teachers who were coming in with their mixture of Greek mythology, with Eastern religions and Judaism, that it all mixed up, and they were saying, we have superior knowledge and we can lead you into a higher plane of spirituality if you do such things, and if you do certain things, and if you don't do certain things. And Paul has to write the epistle to the Colossians. And Peter has to write about to warn his readers about the false teachers who would come in. Jude, John has to write his first epistle about these men who were coming in with their false teachings. Beloved, you see, even in the early church, that's why Paul gave that demand for stability. He says, you have to stand fast in the faith. Know what you believe. all around the world, the church, the faith in Christ, the faith of our fathers as we sing has been chipped away, has been eroded. That's why we must know what we believe and understand what the scriptures teach. I'm talking about what God's word teaches. The major doctrines of the Bible, the verbal inspiration of the scriptures, the doctrine of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of man, the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of salvation, of Satan.
Subjects. He says, stand fast in the faith. I'm telling you today, you're getting all kinds of ideas coming in. I was visiting a brother one morning, and in fact, we were going somewhere. He had his television on. He had it on one of these Christian stations. There was a man preaching, and he was talking about the gospel. And I listened, and I had to shake my head. He says, salvation is found in the gospel. He says, healing is found in the gospel. He says, health, wealth is found in the gospel. And he went on to name all kinds of things that he said were found in the gospel. And I shook my head and I had to say, well, my friend, that's not the gospel that the Bible talks about. For the gospel is the good news that God loves sinners, that Christ died for sinners, that he was buried and that he rose again. That's the gospel. But it's amazing today what people are bringing in and reading in. And a lot of us, we have to be careful what we're listening to and what we're watching. You know, if you listen to something long enough, you begin to believe it. And so we have today that people are bringing in all kinds of things. But you'll notice what Paul said. They're going to come from without, and they're going to come from within. Do you know that most of the cults that you have around today, their leaders came out of the organized church? Charles Taz Russell, founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And many of these others, they came out of the organized church. Rejected certain teachings of the church, and they went off on a tangent. Oh, they have the Bible. They quote the scriptures. Misquote them many times. Or take a portion, a text, a little piece, and say, here, this is what the Bible says. He says, stand fast in the faith. The truths of God's word. They never change. Praise God. The Bible tells me that the Word of God is living. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It is able to pierce to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Beloved, we have to stand fast in the faith. Know what God's Word teaches. John writes in his epistle in chapter 2, he says, who is a liar? Who is a liar? But he that denieth Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Peter says, there were false prophets also among the people. Even as there shall be false prophets among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Listen to this. Even denying the Lord that bought them. Jim Jones was a man who went off on a tangent. And you know the awful tragedy that happened in Guyana. And as you study the effects or the beginnings of the various cults and isms, you will see, beloved, that many of them came from within the organized church. Stand fast in the faith, once for all delivered unto the saints. That beautiful old hymn, sometimes we don't sing it very much. But it has such beautiful words. It's a hymn of militancy. Faith of our fathers.
living still, we will be true to thee to death, till death.
When I was in England in 1975, I was visiting a brother, he had me in for a meal and before a meeting, or after the meeting. And while they were getting ready, he said, "Brother, I want you to look at this hymnal, this hymn book. It's a new one that's just come out." He says, "Take a look at it and see what you think of it." I took a look at it and I went through it. And you know, one of the first things that struck me, they had taken out every hymn that said anything about the blood of Christ. I said to him, "There are no hymns on the blood. He says, "Hush." Exactly. You have people today that they say, "Oh, that's offensive. That's offensive." You know, there are even many assemblies today where they don't even want you to preach a solid gospel message anymore. They don't want to offend anybody. Beloved, we have to stand fast in the faith. We never change the message. We may change methods. Methods change. Even the Apostle Paul and those change. But let me tell you something. We stand true to the message of God's Word. I heard recently, read of a controversy in a major denomination. They wanted to come up with a new hymn book. This one not only would leave out the blood, but would leave out any hymns that spoke of militancy. Onward, Christian soldiers had to go. Stand up for Jesus. Soldiers of Christ, arise, kick them out. They're no good. But thank God the people rose up and said, "We'll not have it. We'll not have it. We want our hymn book as it is." But you see, what they're doing is they're saying that these things are not necessary. We don't need to preach those things. Paul says, stand fast in the faith. A demand for stability. Stand fast in the faith. Paul told Titus in chapter 1 and verse 10, he said, "Rebuke the vain talkers and deceivers, especially of the circumcision. Rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." Now notice what he says. Go over, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And notice what he warns that's going to happen. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. He says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." And what are they going to do? They're going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. There are men, there are people today who have come under the seduction or the seducing spirits. They've never been saved. They don't know the Lord. John tells us that in his epistle. He says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us, because if they had been of us, they would have continued with us." He says they went out because they never knew the Lord. And they give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron and so on. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Do you know what today? You know what you have today in the New Age movement and in our world today? The human rights activists, you know what? They're more concerned about killing an animal than they are about murdering innocent babies. Oh, they say these animals are not to be eaten. Don't be surprised if eventually they will try to stop the fishermen from trying to fish, because you see, they want to protect the creatures. They think more of the animals, and they think more of the fish in the sea and the birds that fly in the air. How much money was spent the other day to try to save those few whales up there in Alaska? Isn't it something? And yet every day, millions of babies over the year, Rob, every day, babies are being murdered, aborted. Not a cry is made of it. People are wrong if you preach about it. Beloved, they're going to depart from the faith. Paul says, stand fast in the faith.
once for all delivered to the saints. Let's very quickly look at the other part of that verse, because I want to finish it. It's a beautiful verse. He says, quit you like men. Here is a demand for manliness. Be men. You know what Paul had accused these Corinthians of in the early part of the book? You know what he said of them? He says, you're children, you're babies. I tried to give you meat, but I couldn't give you meat because you couldn't take it. I said I had to give you milk. But now he says, I want you to mature. I want you to stand up and be men. When I think of this, I think of what he says to the church at Ephesus. He tells them, he says, stand. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks, the tricks and the strategies of the devil. And then he says to put on the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And then in verse 18, he says, keep it all oiled with prayer. You see, we can have on the armor of God, but if we're not praying and we're not keeping it oiled with prayer, we're not going to be effective. He says, stand like men. And then there is a demand for strength. He says, be strong. Last part of verse 13, he says, be strong. Be strong in the Lord, he says, in the power of his might. Be strong. Oh, beloved, how we need today to stand up, how we need today not to waver in our faith as people come around and try to bring in something new, how we need to be able to say, I know what God's Word says. I know what God's Word says. Very rarely do the Jehovah's Witnesses come to my house. They know who lives there. The only time they come is if somebody new. And they don't come around, but they're all around our place. Do they ever come to Spanish Wells now to try to move around, or are they giving up? Hope they come. They're not going to give up. You know why? Because you see, they're trying to earn a place in the kingdom upon earth. I admire them for their tenacity. I wish more of God's people were as fervent as they are, though they're deluded. But it's amazing the different things that are coming into these islands. Do you have any Baha'is over here? I know there's some in Eleuthera. Do you know what they're doing? They're coming into the Bahamas, applying as teachers in the Ministry of Education. And they're coming into the Bahamas as Baha'i missionaries to propagate the Baha'i faith, and they are paid by the Bahamas government. That's what they're doing. There's been a couple, they've been in APCO for many years. They're still there. They're lovely people. Nice people. But oh, they're deluded. And this is what they're doing. They're willing to propagate their faith. Are we? We talk about the faith, but beloved, are we willing to tell others about it? Are we willing to share with others? And let them know that we have the answer. The Apostle Paul says, be strong. Be strong. I want to close with an exhortation from verse 14. You see, we can know all about the faith and we can defend it. And we can be zealous for it. But you see, if it's not governed by love, we're doing it the wrong way. Why do you think Paul puts that in here? After he gives these very strong words, a demand for vigilance, demand for stability, a demand for manliness, a demand for strength. He says, now, I want you to do these things, but he says, I want you to be governed by love. You see, that's the important thing. I can know it up here.
I can have a good grasp of the scriptures and go about defending the faith in the wrong way because I'm not governed by God's love. You see, with doctrine, the knowledge of doctrine, comes the responsibility to live it. Every one of the epistles that the apostles write, you will find that they deal with doctrine, but they come into, usually the latter part of it, they deal with the practical side of it. The first 11 chapters of Romans is doctrine. But when you come to chapter 12, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your intelligent worship. Be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, and we'll close with a couple of thoughts from there, because there he talks about love. In verses 3 through 8, he talks about the proper use of spiritual gifts, how they're to be governed. Verse 3, he says, I say through the grace given unto me, Romans 12, verse 3, to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Then he goes on to talk about the body of Christ and the members and the gifts there, as he enumerates more in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Go down to verse 9, please. Look what he says. Let love be without dissimulation. The word means hypocrisy. Let love be sincere. You see how everything that we do has to be governed by love? Whatever we do for the Lord, it should be governed by His love. He says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Look at verse 16, verse 14. He says, bless them which persecute you. You know what the word bless means? It means to eulogize. Usually at a funeral, when somebody gives the eulogy, they speak nice things about the person. Well, that's what the Lord is saying through the Apostle Paul here. He says, you speak nice things about the people who persecute you. You see the practical side of it, beloved? It's governed by love. It's governed by what we do. Bless, he says, and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with those that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits, and so on. And the rest of the chapter talks about not recompense evil for evil and living at peace with all men. Paul, listen, Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 16, he says, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Watch, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. But in all these things, ask God to just let His love flow through you, as we have in 1 Corinthians 5, Romans 5 and verse 5. He says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. Beloved, let our prayer be, Lord, I want us to be vigilant. I want to stand fast in the faith. At the same time, I want to be governed. Governed by Thy love. So that whatever I do, it is done through the eye of love. And you know what? That makes a difference. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts as we think of standing fast in the faith, stability. Shall we pray? Our Father, we just thank Thee again for Thy word this evening. Lord, how easy it is to get caught up in other things and fail to recognize that we are to stand fast in the faith. We think of so many people tonight who are unstable as far as their Christian life is concerned. Lord, there are some who blow hot and cold. They let things upset them. They let things annoy them. Instead of looking to Thy word, they look to their own feelings. We pray tonight, Lord, that we'll rise above these things. Lord, that we'll rise above the
the petty things that would keep us apart, that we, whatever we do, will be governed by thy love being poured into our hearts, shed abroad into our hearts, that we will do things out of love for one another. And as we heard this evening, Father, that each one of us will day by day take heed lest we fall. And that when a brother or sister falls and they run into problems, we'll not go at them and condemn them. We'll not be critical of them. But in love we will seek to restore them, considering that we ourselves could fall into the same problem or a similar problem. God, give us tender hearts for thee. Give us tender hearts for each other. Sometimes we're so cold. Lord, we're so hard with one another. Lord, we pray that this liberty that we have in Jesus Christ will not be governed by just our knowledge, but as the Apostle Paul reminds us, that it should be done with love. Oh, Father, afresh, give us a fresh baptism of thy love. A fresh anointing of thy love this evening. That we're going to look at problems, we're going to look at situations, we're going to look at various things that arise, not through the eyes just of the scriptures, but through the eyes of love, using the scriptures. And even looking at them, at the things that happen through the eyes of love, through the eyes of the Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. Bless these dear saints here. Lord, we pray that tonight thou would have met needs through thy word this evening in our own hearts, in our own lives. For we ask these things in our Savior's ever precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing 420, I think it is, songs.